Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. Men, as always, I'd like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's podcast episode. Now, whether this is your first time coming across the Pursuit of Manliness or you're a longtime subscriber, man, I'm glad you're here. If you would, make sure you visit thepursuitofmanliness.com. Specifically, I want to highlight for the month of January, signing up for the email newsletter. Now, in the past, I haven't been very good about sending out a regular email. And if I'm honest, I don't read a lot of emails that are sent my way either. But what I want to do for this year is be more committed in sending out that email every week. The focus will be a different aspect of the framework of biblical manhood. We've been talking about this for a long time since this summer, and it's something that comes up continually within the Pursuit of Manliness. Currently, it's a focus within Tribe as well. But what I want to do is every week send out an email, and I want to highlight a different aspect of that framework for biblical manhood, whether it is being spiritually sound, mentally strong, physically fit, or relationally established. Again, make sure you sign up for that email newsletter. It's going to be a resource that will go to your email every week. Men, it's time for today's podcast conversation.
We're essentially breaking down the question, does the gospel make it to my address? All right, after a brief sip of coffee, let me just share my story a little bit. If you would have asked me 10 years ago, Jarrett, does the gospel make it to your house? I would have said, well, absolutely. You'd say, explain. Well, it makes it to my house because I'm a Christian. My wife is a Christian. Both my girls are Christians. I didn't have a son at the time. Both my girls are Christians. I serve at a church. My kids go to a Christian school. My wife stayed home, you know, just to raise them, you know, in a godly manner. That's the attempt. We pray over our meals. At that point, they were much younger. We probably had family dinner every night, just about. We're trying to read the Bible as a family, read Bible stories or whatever. So yeah, the gospel makes it to my house. But I think if I look back on that period of time, I would say that was more indicative of what you do because you heard the gospel, as opposed to bringing the gospel actually to my house. So let me break it down this way. Does the gospel that you receive, let's say in your small group or in church or whatever, does it actually get there as much as you have it, you grabbed it, you received it, and now we're going to walk it right into our house and we're going to do something with it? So without trying to, you know, create utter confusion in this, because everything I just said, I would say there's probably a number of men who would say, that's us. I thought we were doing a pretty good job. Yeah, absolutely. But let's just consider what I have five questions. Let's just consider these five questions when we look at what are we doing with the gospel. So for a number of you, I guess years ago, I thought everyone did, but I know that's not the case. For a number of you, you're in a church community where you're hearing the gospel preached all the time. You're in maybe small group, discipleship communities, whatever. You're in these men's ministries, and so you're hearing the gospel. So what are we doing with it? I got these five questions, and I was sitting out back, a week or two ago, just kind of chewing on this idea and say, okay, how would you simplify this? Looking at your own life, looking at my own life, my own house, my own family, and say, how would I simplify this to kind of gauge, yeah, I'm doing something with that. The first question I need to consider is, how is my personal worship time? Okay, I don't want to be a guy who would come in and say, you need to get your Bible and you need that, and I'm not doing it. Okay, so first and foremost, how is my personal worship time with the Lord? So today, I'll give you an example. I read John 1 because that's what me and my family are reading. And so we do the group text to each other. I got my nephew on board with that, so I'll text him too. And then today we're reading Titus 2 in Tribe. I read them both. I don't know if that would be considered personal worship time as much as it would be just consuming John 1 and Titus 2. It is a benefit to read it and then come up with a logical thought or something that's digestible and send it to other people. Absolutely. I think there's value in that. But personal worship as, okay, God, what do you want me to what is the Holy Spirit trying to tell me in this text? How do I apply this directly to my life today? What is maybe a verse or two or a focus that I need to kind of hone in on? I made a post a minute ago about Titus 2, about the older men, the R2B, and I think it's the NIV or the NASB. I could be wrong. I am wrong on one of those, I know. That says teach the older men, and I never caught that till the other day. So there is a teaching element to the older guys, and then also if you keep going Titus 2, the older guys do a whole bunch of teaching too. So everybody's kind of instructing everybody. So right now, a thing on my heart is I want to make sure that I'm encouraging older guys, the silverbacks, I call them. I'm a silverback myself because I look like it, you know. I'm 48. I'm going the same direction you're going. So I see these older guys, 50, 60, 70 years old, who somehow bought into a Christian retirement home, or they just kind of sat at the end of the bench and said, well, I guess y'all don't need me no more. No, we need you. And the attack of the enemy on your life is rendering you ineffective. He's basically telling you, you're not needed. They don't need you, you know, whatever. So sit down there and just, you know, remember the good old days. No, we need you, man. So the question is, how's my personal worship time? Am I really seeking transformation, or am I consuming information? I've done both. I've done both of them. But if we're not careful, we read, we kind of check the box, we say, I did it. I do feel better. I don't have that Bible guilt if I just read it. But I know that there's not real transformation taking place. I really didn't connect with the Lord. I just consumed information. And so I need to say, okay, Lord, transform me, change me from the inside, wash the cup inside first, inside out. And so how is my personal worship time as a spiritual leader of the home? If I don't get me right, I'm not going to help anyone else get right. And I have a charge to that. Just give me context. If you're jumping in, you're like, I don't know who this guy is. I have three kids right now. I have a senior, I have a sophomore, and I have a fifth grader. And so you might be, I know we got guys in all different seasons. I was thinking that before I started. We got guys who have no kids. We got guys who have really young kids. We have guys who are empty nesters, guys who's them and their wives serve in the church, guys who have spouses who don't believe. The whole spectrum here. But just consider, first and foremost, how's your personal worship time? If you believe the gospel, if you sing songs about the gospel, if you say, yeah, I'm in on that. So what is it like when you get in your house? And I do believe it, there is a value in allowing your wife and kids to catch you reading the word. I'm not talking about becoming a poser or a fraud, but I'm saying I think it's good to have it out and have it open, but allow them to see that, okay? So that's the first one. The second one is this: what kind of conversations are we having in our house? What are things that we're talking about in our house? And so, there's seasons where maybe there's no conversation because we're just so busy. Man, I hate that word. But again, there's four of us in this house that work. Me and my wife, and then my daughters work. They don't drive, but at least not yet. And so they're not driving yet. So that means we're the Uber drivers to work. And they're all involved in activities and things. And so the conversation sometimes is, what time do you work? What time do I need to pick you up? What time is practice? What time is it over? You got to bake how many cookies for what? You know, whatever. So what kind of conversations are we having? Are we having spiritual conversations? If we're not, perhaps it's okay to call time out and say, hey, can we just redial in our focus here just a minute? Let's get our north set again. Some wives and kids are more open to that than others. I understand. But if you have the opportunity, if the Lord allows you, call time out. I don't think I've done it myself. Hey, let's just get on the same page here. Let's just come together and pray. Let's talk about what we want to do. Again, we're reading John 1. We kind of agree. Like, what do you want to read? What do you want to read? Whatever. So, you know, we get their buy-in. We want to make sure we're having edifying conversations. I know there's seasons where, man, you're on the fly, you're on the run. I have two daughters, so there's a thing. There's always a thing with, you know, a friend or a teacher or whatever. My son is a little bit more like me. Like, he doesn't say a whole lot kind of to himself. Then we find out later on there's a whole bunch going on. So you say, okay, what kind of conversations are we having? What kind of conversations should we be having? And again, if you're going to be the guy that helps direct this and lead this, maybe you need to initiate the conversation. Maybe you need to say, listen, I know it's busy. I know it's whatever. I'm going to order pizza tonight. And we're going to sit around the table. We're just going to get on the same page. Tell me what's going on in your week. Tell me, like with the pursue marriage thing, that there a lot of it is questions, because we want to help husbands and wives just continue to have conversation. I've never done marriage counseling with a couple where the wife said, I wish he talked less. Never had that. And then we do that with Pursue Wilderness, the Wednesday and Friday. It's designed really like for outdoors at a fire pit, or if you're on a trail, if you're kayaking or whatever. But those are really, really simple conversation starters just to get you all on the same page. You can do it anywhere. You can do it in a car. You can do it on the way to, you know, like we're going to a college visit after a while. So you can do it anywhere and be like, hey, this first question, I got this off of a thing I follow. What is the, you know, and go into that. So what kind of conversations are we having? What gets talked about? Is it the same thing all the time? Is it always negative? Is it always about a person, a family, a teacher, a sport, or whatever? Like, I'll tolerate it for a period of time, and I'll be like, all right, we're done. All right, we're going to quit the sport. we're going to do something. We cannot let this dictate the temperature of our house every day. And so I've said before, I do not need to be in every conversation in our house, but I need to be aware of the conversation in our house. That doesn't mean my wife and kids aren't having a conversation. I'm eavesdropping, listening on it. No, I'm not doing that. But I have become privy to what are the conversations that are taking place. Sometimes, like the way our house is set up, just remaining in the kitchen area affords me a lot of opportunity to know what's the gauge of today. What are we working with? What's gone well? What hasn't gone well? And again, I don't have to be in it all. But knowing those things, being aware of those things, helps me understand what is required of me right now. I've really blown it on some days where my kids had a terrible day and I had no clue. I didn't take the time to listen. I didn't take the time to ask. I didn't ask them about themselves. I didn't read the cues. And so I blew it. And I said, well, you might want to learn from that. Number three, so we have our conversations, right? Number three, this is really close to this. What causes us to pray? Bedtime? Meals? Before school? Before we take a trip? Like, what causes us to pray? Is there an issue that we're working through and we say, let's stop real quick and let's pray? Like, my kids in the morning, I try to pray with them before school, and they're always packing lunches, whatever, and I'm like, hey, I'm not asking for complete submission in this prayer. I just want you to know I'm praying for you and with you and whatever, okay? I was at a soccer game recently, and a good friend of mine and his wife were talking about some testing that had just taken place. And some kids passed, some kids didn't. And in that moment, they were kind of working through what to do with that gray area kid. If I pass them in this test, does that set them up to fail later on? Am I sending a message that this wasn't as great a value as we said we were? I mean, I wasn't in the conversation, but I could hear them talking about it. But the next thing I heard, which completely humbled me, was them praying together. And to my recollection, it was a really short prayer by him. And then she prayed right after he did. And I thought, I don't know if my wife and I would have had whatever, the wherewithal to right in that moment to stop and pray. I would just get frustrated and go, come on, why does it have to be like, come on, we just, you know, whatever, let's talk later, whatever. Nope. Right then and there, they prayed in the midst of a state tournament soccer game. And I thought, the Lord, that's something I needed to see. I needed to hear that. And I'm thankful that I got to be privy to that. So what causes us to pray? Anything? Someone's sick? Maybe someone sick causes you to pray? Maybe a job situation, school situation? What do you pray about? I'm thinking so many times in my life, there are things I'm walking through and working through and stressing over and anxiety over and, you know, and just having all these challenges. And I don't remember anyone grab me and say, let's just take it to the Lord. And I don't remember, I know there's been plenty of times, because I'm sure I forgot most of them, where I didn't do that either. I should have stopped and said, honey, let's stop right now. Let's pray for that. So what causes us to pray? Who are we investing in? That's number four. So let's go back. What's my personal worship time like? What kind of conversations are we having? Again, you can just observe and get that. Three, what causes us to pray? And number four, who are we investing in? Are there people we're having over? I am not a very hospitable person. I wish I was. If there's a game on, I'm much more hospitable than if I have to entertain you. I'm just not a good entertainer guy. My wife is much better than I am. And but we need to invest in other couples, other people, other relationships, other people in your life that you're investing in. We have some people in and out of our house right now that we feel like we are making an investment in. We have some people even from a distance, you know, that are not in our house that we feel like we're making an investment in. But everyone in the home kind of knows about these relationships so that we're all on the same page. So sometimes you can have people in your home who, you know, they're a little rough around the edges. Well, if your kids know I'm trying to make an investment in that person, that's one thing. Never let that person around your kids alone, though, if you have any smarts about you. Okay, I'm not trying to, you know, make a bigger case than what it is. I'm saying if you're making an investment in a person because you're trying to disciple them, evangelize them, whatever, you own that. You take responsibility for that. But there can be relationships and people that come into your house that you're making investments in. My wife has some relationships I'll come home and I'll see the car in the driveway, and that's a lady in her small group, or that's a lady that she texts in her discipleship or whatever. Great. We know what's going on here. So who are we investing in right now? What kind of relationships are we investing in? Maybe you say nobody. Maybe you feel like you don't have the time to invest in anybody. Well, I will say this, just finding the margin at once a month, let's say, and having someone over to connect and get to know them, whatever, is one of the greatest investments you can make in your marriage. And I say that as an introverted guy who is not hospitable at all, but when it's over, you're better for it. And it's biblical. It's biblical. I think we neglect it. I know a lot of people who go, yeah, I'm not going to do it. Okay, well, it's in there for a reason. It's in there because you learn as much about yourself as you do about those people. And especially if they have kids or anything that's in the same season, whatever, like, man, that's a low-hanging fruit. For us, looking back, there were people that made an investment in us. I thought they were just being our friends. They made an investment in us, and I look back, and they were 10, 15, maybe, I don't know, years older than us, where their kids were almost watching our kids. And I see that now as, man, I'm so thankful for them. I'm so thankful that they modeled marriage and they modeled a Christian home and they modeled what serving the church and loving each other looks like, because it was an example for my wife and I. I don't know if my wife needed as much as I needed it. So who are you investing in? You might say nobody. Listen, $5, you can go to Little Caesars and get one of the fantastic hot and ready pizza. Hot is debatable, but ready pizzas. And you can get a $5 pizza. You do not have to lay out the whole, you know, whatever. You don't need a like fondue thing, or you don't need a, you know, a whole cheese tray. Just bring them over, or say, hey, we're going to drive. I think we had friends. We did do this. We had friends. They would go drive through somewhere. We would drive through somewhere, and we'd all come back to get our house, and we'd eat our drive through food. Nobody spent a dime on someone. We didn't have the money to do that, and they knew that. But who are you inviting into your house? Sometimes we're always waiting to be invited to someone else's house. You got a backyard? Let them in it. You got a garage? Pop the door up. Get out some camping chairs, whatever. It doesn't have to be fancy. But who are you investing in? And number five, what does our calendar and checkbook look like? What does our calendar and checkbook look like? Now, I know it's 2023 and y'all love that Google Calendar and all the calendar shares and all that stuff. Yeah, I think there is a place for that. I will confess, as I always do, my wife is typically way ahead of me on most things. And so she had one of these, like I'm holding it up right now, these spiraled type calendars. So every time we went to make a plan for something, she'd say, hold on, I'm gonna go get my calendar. Like, what are we, 80? What are we doing? So she'd go get her calendar and she'd say, okay, we got soccer at 5:30. You got your Zoom at 9. We have this over here. We have, okay, can we do this? Or does it work or not? Okay, I need to let them know. So one day I got sick of being caught off guard on some things. We got into all this back to school stuff, and I bought one of these calendars. I don't know how I ever lived without one to begin with. I mean, it is a lifesaver. But I look at my calendar. If you look at it right now, you say, where are you spending your time? Well, what gets written down on here is mostly kids, and it's mostly soccer and podcast. Because those guys, I'm trying to keep them straight too, and sometimes I forget. So podcasts and soccer, it seems like that. Looks like a lot of school stuff so far. My point is, that usually is indicative, forgive me, indicative of what's going on in your house. What does our calendar, what does our checkbook look like? Am I spending all my money on travel ball? Well, then you become a professional travel ball parent. It's going to be hard to do these other things we just talked about. It's going to be hard to know if the gospel's at your address if you spend all your time in a folding chair eating, you know, Goldfish crackers and drinking Gatorade. I mean, hey, if that's what you do, that's what you do. But man, don't forget, you are not, we have never been given permission. We have never been given permission to sacrifice our family on the altar of athletics, education, or ministry. And you can justify your calendar, you can justify your checkbook, you can justify your season of life and say, well, Jared, that's fine for you, but that doesn't change the charge that God has given to men to lead their home spiritually. And you can say, well, that might work for you. That no, that is what is in print. I'm just telling you what the book says. And so if we somehow justify sacrificing our kids, our marriage, or whatever on fun, on, again, travel, on, you know, athletics, education, every activity that blows by, we say, well, we'll get to it someday. What you're going to find is you're going to run out of somedays. It's inevitable. There will come a point where God says, well, that's it. And I know as my kids get older, my influence in their life is waning, okay? And I say that as a guy who did not get it very well when they were younger. And I'm trying to tell you, if you're younger, if you got the younger kids, learn from me, man. I wish I'd have paid better attention. However, I know we got some silverbacks in here. We got some older guys. We got some guys who are empty nesters. What an opportunity you have. And I know sometimes it's hard, and I know you can be just as busy as you get older as when you're younger. I understand all those things. Is the gospel making it to your house, and what are you doing with it? If you are primarily an empty nester, goodness, you could probably have people in your home two or three times a week, right? You could probably go be a part of a couple small groups, a couple evangelistic opportunities or discipleship opportunities. Like, your schedule should look different. And I know it's not the case for everybody. I'm just saying, I know there's a lot of people who have bought into the idea that someday I'll get into this Christian retirement home where I can sit in my salvation hammock and just let the cool breeze blow by. And good luck to you guys. I wish you all the best, and I hope the Lord provides for you. I want you to know that is a lie from the enemy of your soul. If you read your Bible, and you should, and that was number one, personal worship time. You read your Bible, you will see as people got older, it did not get easier. It's quite the opposite. So why does it seem like it's getting easier for some older guys in 2023? It's because you bought into the lie that you don't have to play a part anymore, that you are ineffective, that you are whatever. And I'll go back to the guys who got the young kids. I get it. You're trying to tread water, keep your head above water. I understand. Maybe in the middle of the night, and your wife's trying to rock the kid, feed the kid, and they're colicky, and they're crying, and you earn every tooth that kid has, and you're trying to potty train, whatever. Maybe you just step outside the room for a minute and say, let's just pray. Let's pray. I wish I'd have done that. Let's pray. And who knows? Who knows what happened? I felt like when I prayed for my kids to go back to sleep, they cried louder. I don't know if that works or not. But I'll tell you what, there's no downside to you and your wife at 3 a.m. when the kid's crying and they're sick and you can't. No downside for the two of you just coming together and saying, we're glued together. We're going to pray for this child right now. And, who knows what the Lord will do in that moment. So those are five things that I thought of when I look at my own life, past and present. Okay, I can't do anything about the future yet, past and present. I wish I'd have got a number of these things right. I don't remember having a real personal worship time for all those years I just talked about there. I did it all at the office. Because I thought, well, as soon as I get there, I'll just do it, whatever. I deeply regret that because my kids should have seen that. But the truth was, there probably wasn't a lot of meat to it anyways. And so as I get a little bit older, I say, hey, look at that list. I want to get my personal worship time right. I want to monitor the conversations. I want to think about what causes us to pray and start getting serious about that. I want to look for some people we can invest in. And what was number five? I lost my number five there. And look at my calendar and my checkbook, right? So for you guys in the herd, there's a couple more things I want to add to this. They're not any more points or anything like that. This is not a bait and switch. But there's just something I thought about today before I recorded this, and I think that needs to be shared with the herd when it comes to kind of removing this husband dad guilt when it comes to the gospel getting to our address. So, man, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.
Once again, men, I thank you for listening to or watching today's podcast conversation. If you would, make sure you click subscribe. That way you're always notified when there's new podcast content. And I'll go back to where I started. If you would, go to the website. Make sure you are signed up for the email newsletter. Check your spam folder. Make sure it's not being dumped in there. Starting the beginning of January, my goal is to send that out every week. And again, hopefully it's a free resource to you that you can encourage yourself, people in your home, maybe your friends and family. Men, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.